I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome back to the Already Friends podcast. This is Kara.
And this is Allison.
Today, we're talking about our favorite tools for self-discovery and figuring out who you are. We have been big proponents of all these tools over the years on the podcast, but we've never done one episode where we talk about all of them at the same time. So we're going to get into that and just the different ways that we like to realize the type of people that we are. But first, we're going to catch up as we always do, and then we'll get into the topic.
Well, I think you guys are going to be mad at me, and you guys should probably all know what comes after this when I say that, but I have a big update. I almost want you to guess, but I'm afraid you're going to guess other things, so I'm wondering if I should let you guess. What do you think it is?
Wait, me guess?
It has to do with where we live.
Oh, are you guys moving?
Yeah, we're moving.
Oh, and my
everyone's
going to
be so mad. They're like, not again.
That's crazy. Wait, okay, you're just moving in Tulum?
No.
Oh.
Okay, second part of the guess. My favorite country in the world.
Oh my gosh. Wait, what? Are you moving to the Netherlands?
We're moving to the Netherlands.
Oh my gosh. Wait, what the heck? This is crazy. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So exciting.
Huge plot twist.
What? Yeah, I feel like we need to hear this backstory. Please explain.
I almost wish there was more backstory, but basically in the last month, I've just been feeling not that inspired by my surroundings. And I'm actually coming up on 1 year. I moved down here May 31st, 2024. So it's been a full year. That's actually a long time. And I think the days go by so slow here. I think I've told you guys that. I'm like, every day feels like a week. Every week feels like a month. And Clay has felt that too. So even though you guys are probably like, oh my God, Clay just got down there like in March. But like, even he is like, I feel like I've been here for so long. Like, we can't even believe how much has like happened since he first moved down here. And we were talking about how it's so blazing hot right now. This morning I got up at like 6 and I was sitting on my roof watching the sunrise. And I kid you not, by 7:05, I was starting to sweat. Like, the whole day is hot. And even if I go to take Peaches for a walk, like after that, like basically from 8 a.m. till 3 p.m., it's well above 85 degrees, high humidity. And I'm just realizing like I miss a little bit more of a temperate climate, because during the day when it's so hot, I'm like, what do you do? I can't just be in my house on my laptop all day.
Oh my gosh. No.
Yeah. And it's like, you can only go have so much pool and beach time. Like, I miss going to a museum or history stuff, like city things. And so we were kind of joking. We were like, maybe we should just move to Europe. And then we were like, wait, we have free will.
But like, wait, we could.
We could literally do that. So we asked our current building owner, like, would you hate us? And he's like, no, it's fine. And we're like, really? So we're like, okay, let's just look. So I email this real estate agent from the Netherlands. Her name is also Allison. She's also an expat. So I'm like, I'm going to pull on her heartstrings. It's a very aligned, perfect opportunity. So I sent her this whole thing about how moving to the Netherlands is my dream, blah, blah, blah. Is there any way you can help? And she's like, wow, do you have an angel on your shoulder or what? Because I actually have like the perfect place for you. And this is really uncommon. There's like a bunch of housing rules with the Netherlands, like really, really tough to find housing. So I was sending her this email thinking we needed like, I don't know, a 2-3 month timeline here, mm-hmm. not like the next day. So we're still waiting to sign the papers, but we FaceTime the owner today. All seems good. June 1st is when the contract starts.
Oh my gosh. Wait, that's so soon.
So soon.
And that's amazing.
We're going to Mexico City tomorrow. So we're going to be gone for 5 days. And we come back and we're like, okay, better start packing up.
Wow. That's probably nice. Probably don't have too much stuff.
Oh, you know, one would think.
You're like, no, unfortunately. I guess, you know, you have been there a year. You definitely probably have acquired a lot of things.
I know. I'm like, where do things come from? So... I already started like separating some things this morning. I was like, okay, this is the stuff to sell on Facebook Marketplace. Because when I moved from Omaha to Tulum, I was definitely having a hard time cutting the tie. And I was moving down here by myself. It was when Clay and I were on a break. I had to let go of the new wave space because of the noisy neighbors. Like, I just feel like I had so many things to let go of that I was like holding on to some comfort stuff. So I kind of brought a lot. And this time around, I'm like, we don't need to do all that. Like, the things that I brought from Omaha, I'm like, this cost me more and was more inconvenient to bring here. Like my fucking toaster and my blender and like just so many things in my suitcase that I'm like, I think we could find a new home for that here.
Yeah.
And get another one.
Yes.
Like, who brings also a toaster in a suitcase?
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely not a necessity at all. Is something that you're finding, are you going to have to buy a whole new wardrobe? Because I'm imagining like it doesn't really get as hot as it is in Tulum.
No. And that's another thing I miss. Like, I'm not some amazing fashionista, but I do own a vintage store. I like clothing. And here it's so hot that every day I basically just wear like a tiny little tank top and like comfy shorts because it's too hot for denim. Basically, you can only wear like linen or cotton without dying. And so I feel like I've really lost my sense and fun with fashion because I'm just trying to dress practically every day.
And I would say you're a fashionista. So I feel like that does play a role.
Wow. Thank you. Well, not currently. We'll see if I can make a comeback once I move over there. But I miss like going thrifting and like going to vintage shops and having things to dress up for. Cause here, if you dress up to go to the beach, you just wear a bikini. Like there's nothing to really like ever get ready for. And because it's so humid, like what's the point of curling or doing your hair? It's just going to get ruined anyway. You're going to get sweaty. You're going to put the moped helmet on. No point in wearing makeup. So I feel like I've kind of let myself go in a sense of self-presentation because now I'm like, I just wear no makeup, no just messy natural hair every day and like throw on clothes. But I will say I really needed that. And I think that's why Tulum is so healing because the bar is so low for how you can go out in public. And when I was going through all of that change, I still wanted to be able to leave the house and like interact and go sit at a cafe with like no shoes on and just like messy hair. Like it was so nice to not have to think about those things. But now that my nervous system is regulated and my mental health is good, I'm like, a girl would like something to dress up for, okay?
Yeah, that's so exciting. Are you going to have to get a certain visa or something? Are you going to just kind of live and then leave when you need to, kind of like a lot of remote workers do?
We are really banking on the visa. And
oh, nice. Cool.
The one that we're going for, I feel very confident in it. So confident that I'm willing to sign a year lease over it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm like the angel on the shoulder that the real estate agent said. I'm like, no, the angel's just still there. Just going to fly over to the visa office. But this is a side update within this update. And I feel like I shouldn't even say this, but we have to go back to Omaha because to make the paperwork easier, Clay and I are like, we need to be married on paper. So we're just going to like go to the courthouse. I'm like emailing a judge just to like get the paperwork done. So we're obviously not going to have like a ceremony or anything like that, but we'll like technically on paper be married, which is just funny because our parents have always like given us shit. Like when we used to take trips together, we'd come back and they'd be like, did you guys elope? And we'd be like, no. But this time we're going to be like, well, kind of. We went to the courthouse today, but we told both of our parents already, but we did order rings. So we're like, should we wear them or not? Like, I don't know. So if you guys start seeing a ring, like you didn't miss anything, but maybe you did. There was nothing to miss.
Oh my gosh. Well, that is so exciting. And congrats on all ends. And I'm so excited for this update. It's going to happen so fast. Like usually, like you said, things kind of like start to sprinkle happen. But no, we're going to get Netherlands content in the next couple of weeks.
I know. I was like, oh, maybe I'll wait to tell them. And I'm like, well, we have What Would Your Bestie Do next week. And then the one after that, like we're probably
totally
going to be on
the
flight.
It would totally be a big bomb, which you could just drop the bomb. That would be hilarious.
Yeah, I even feel like this was a bomb being dropped. I like messaged my parents last night and I was like, well, no surprise, but surprise, like you guys know me. But they were very happy for me. So, I mean, I think anyone that knows me well knows I would give my left arm to move to the Netherlands. So I'm like, I will do anything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised. You know, it just feels very fitting and feels like a place, like you said, has been your favorite place for a very long time. Feels like home. So I think it couldn't be more aligned.
Yeah. And let me also say, I know that when you first move somewhere or before you move somewhere, it's easier to have the rose colored glasses. Like when I first moved to Tulum, I loved so many things about it. And in time, you start to see the full picture of a place. But I think anywhere on earth is going to be like that. And since my income is remote and now Clay's income is remote, we're like, well, if we're not 10 out of 10, 100% inspired here anymore, we don't have anything keeping us. Why would we not go somewhere else? Like, on one hand, we were like, are we running away? Like, do we just, you know, stick it out? And we're like, I don't know why, for what? Like, we're young. Let's just go if we can go. And that doesn't mean we're going to stay in the Netherlands forever. Maybe my visa doesn't get approved. Whatever. Maybe we're back in 3 months. But like, we're going to go for some point of time.
And you'll have a great time and you'll never regret it. But exactly. You would regret it if you didn't go.
Exactly. So yeah, a lot has happened in the last 48 hours. Sorry to dump all of that on you guys, but you basically found out as soon as I did.
Well, again, that is so exciting. Anything else other than this big move that now you're probably going to be in a whirlwind getting ready for that you want to share?
I'll say this. It's related but unrelated. I haven't been posting Instagram stories for like the last 2 months, and it's allowed me pros and cons, because cons, I feel like it was a factor in not romanticizing my day as much, because I do feel like with Instagram stories, I would notice like the pretty things in my day, and it helped me, I don't know, just see the little magical moments around. But then on the flip side, I was like, well, if I'm forcing it to take a pretty photo, now that I'm not doing it, you know the quote, it's like, how does it look versus how does it feel? I was like, if I took Instagram away, I don't want to be here anymore. Mm-hmm. So like that, even though it doesn't have that much effect on this, but I really realized like Instagram stories were kind of like my daily gratitudes. Like, oh, this is pretty, or I like this. And so I had to adopt another gratitude practice, like in my journal, to kind of place hold that. And it made me realize how important it is to have a gratitude practice. Like, it's so easy to become pessimistic, like how I was calling it trashy Tulum last week, like only to notice the bad stuff somewhere in your life, in where you live, your home, if you're not like consciously looking or taking notice of the good stuff. And so in my last 2 weeks, my intention for myself is to like really remember how special this place is and how much I loved it, and like to romanticize my last 2 weeks here so I can leave on like a really positive note.
Well, that's very beautiful. And that is a good point about the Instagram stories, because I do agree. I feel like it is good for romanticizing. But like you said, I feel like it just, you've outgrown Tulum. It was what it was and it served a purpose, but there's bigger things ahead.
Amazing. Well, I've stolen the mic for long enough. So please share
no,
about your trip.
Rightfully so. I have nothing of the sort of that magnitude to share. No, I just told Allison on Monday night, I was folding laundry at my house. And then I got a call literally at 8 p.m. And basically someone had messed up these dates for a trip and someone backed out. And the trip was literally the next day to do a work trip. And so I got to go for 2 days to Florida. And I would have extended if Connor wasn't going out of town tomorrow, because I just got back last night and I would have loved to stay in Florida, honestly, for a couple more days, because I do have a friend down there, my friend Cammie, who I got to see. She's wonderful. And it would have been fun to like catch up with her, maybe hang out with her for the day. But just 2 quick days in Palm Beach. And I did get myself out into Palm Beach, not just working. On Wednesday, we got done really early. We got done working at like 2. And I was like, okay, I definitely want to go do something. I was looking at sunset boat rides or just anything after 3. Because I'm like, you know, all these excursions or activities are usually in the morning. And I found nighttime snorkeling in the ocean with a tour guide. And he was booked out for 2 weeks. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to find his Instagram. I'm going to find his information and contact him directly and like hope that I could get on if he had a tour that night. Because it was all through TripAdvisor or Viator, so they hide that person's information. They want you to book directly. And you can't message them, but I found his Instagram. And there's this guy, his name's Weston. I'm going to link his information. He's been a tour guide for 15 years. And I was like, do you have anything for tonight? Like, I just got here. I would have booked in advance if I had known I was going to be here. But literally just got here last night and I found you on Viator. And he was like, I don't have anything tonight. Let's do it. I'll just give you a private tour. My wife will come. It'll be so much fun. And so it was me, Weston, and his wife, Luce. And it was so cool. We got there right around sunset. So we were getting into the water at sunset and we snorkeled for like 2 hours in the pitch black. We had flashlights. My coworker was with like literally thought I was crazy. I'm like, no, being in the ocean is so cool. I'd only been swimming like with fish once at night, and it was just like off the back of a boat, and like you're just like with all these fish, and I only did that for like 3 minutes one time way back in like 2019. Ever since then I've wanted to go back in the ocean at night with like this exact same situation. So me finding this, I was so happy. And yes, it was so cool. I feel like everyone listening, if you like snorkeling or if you like the ocean or even if you don't like the ocean, everyone needs to go snorkel at night. It is just such a whole different experience. It's so peaceful. Like I wasn't scared at all, but I feel like there's people that are way scared of the ocean that they're like, heck no. But we saw octopus, several octopus. It was octopus season. So we got really lucky. Oh. We saw a bunch of octopus like hanging around. They were a little timid. So they were kind of like in their little rocks trying to go to sleep. We were just kind of like shining the flashlight on them. But they came out and like poked their little tentacles out. We saw a sea turtle swimming around, puffer fish, rainbow parrotfish. What's another big one we saw? No sharks. We saw a massive, massive tarpon, which is like this huge 75-pound fish. He started to come towards us, but then when he realized you're, you know, kind of predators, he skirted away really fast with that.
Is that what all those people go in, like the guys that go on like the rich boats in Miami? Is that what
I think they're going after? Tarpon. Yeah, they're like big, big fish. What else? I feel like there's one more like obvious. Oh, we saw an eel. That one was creepy. That was a massive, massive eel. And those are just like sea snakes. That one I was like, oh my God, do not come near me. That was a little scary. And yeah, ended off with the eel and some lobsters. And it was just very cool. Like once it got more and more dark, it was kind of like crazy because you really can't see anything until you're like shining your flashlight. But it was cool. I felt peace. It was really nice. We were the only ones out there.
I am too stunned to speak. That is scarier to me than moving to a country without a visa. Like absolutely.
That's so funny.
I think someone would have to pay me something in the four digits for sure. Like to go do that. Like you're so brave.
I'm paying for it. No, it was really cool. And I wanted to see a shark, but that was high hopes because I don't know if sharks even go that shallow where we were. But next time.
How many people were in the group?
It was just me. He only does private tours because I was like,
whoa.
And it's really nice. It's the same price as like he does groups of four or less, but you don't pay like a private. You know, if you think a private group, you're thinking like 300 plus. No, it was around the $100 range. And for 2 hours and so much extensive knowledge of marine life, like anytime he saw anything, he'd like pop his head up and be like, okay, this is actually a scorpion fish. It's highly venomous. If you step on it, you will die. I'm like, okay. We were also like going around, all the clams come out at night. So then we were getting clams to feed to the octopuses. It was crazy.
Well, I feel like a big takeaway from this catch-up segment is to find the right person to contact and contact them directly. Because if you didn't find his Instagram and then message him, you wouldn't have got the one-on-one tour. And if I didn't find this real estate agent that I felt I could connect with her on a more personal level, then she wouldn't have given me the opportunity with this other lady.
I agree. I think that's a great takeaway because exactly when I saw he's booked out until the following Wednesday, I just thought in my head, I'm like, oh, they probably closed the bookings. It's 3 o'clock, 5 hours before the tour. Like, yeah, it's not going to be open. So I was very confident that I could still make it happen. And that was true. So don't get discouraged. Just do a little. I had to kind of dig and I saw him reply to some of the comments. And then it said his company name, Unseen Snorkeling. And then I found the Unseen Snorkeling Google listing and the Instagram page. But yeah, when you work through those other companies, they want to hide that because they want you to
Their cut.
Yeah, because even I was like, okay, I'll call them on Viator, but it was like just like the Viator national number. I'm like, I'm never going to reach this guy if I go through this line. So yes, that is definitely a very good tip is to find the right people and contact them. But it was a great time. If you're ever in West Palm Beach or Palm Beach, highly, highly recommend. It was definitely worth the trip.
I think this relates to jobs as well and different types of opportunities. Even if you're like apartment hunting, if you just put in a random resume or application into those like massive websites, I feel like your chances of being seen amongst hundreds or thousands of people is so low versus having an in that you can make this human one-on-one connection.
Oh yeah, like my job at Beautiful Destinations, I literally found out 6 months into the role that I was the only person they interviewed. They had over 400 applicants, but because I got referred by someone who I reached out to, I found them on Instagram or knew them on Instagram, just Instagram mutuals. But because I reached out, they then sent my resume into the internal team and I was literally the only person there. I'm like, okay, that what you just said, I have testimony to that.
Wow. Well, what a nice learning lesson for both of us in this moment, especially after last week we were talking about the attracting, not chasing. I feel like that can tie in here where you don't have to be desperate, but you can plant intentional seeds where you think you're going to bear some fruit, then go from there.
Exactly. And if it didn't work out, I was going to go on a sunset boat cruise. I was going to do something. So it all worked out. Okay. Peak of the week.
Peak of the week.
Do you have one?
Man, amongst all of that, I would say knowing that both mine and Clay's rings are ordered and on the way. We're shipping it to his parents' house, and I'm just so excited to see them. I think it's hilarious that Clay and I have been together for 7 years, and now we're just like, oh shit, we just got to go and get this done at the courthouse. Like, we had so much time. We could have done this many other times, but I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it's just something happens. You just got to get the ball rolling. And I'm sure at some point we'll have like a proper ceremony and reception. I'm like, that just was not going to happen this summer. And I feel like for us, this is like our funny little joint proposal is how we're viewing it. And then we were going back and forth. We're like, well, do we say fiance for like the next year then? Or do we say husband? And Clay was like, I think husband and wife. And I'm like, no, I want to say fiance because I don't want to be stripped. I think fiance is such a fun word.
1,000%. Yes.
And then when we actually get married, like have a ceremony, then we can say husband and wife. But on paper, that's another thing.
Yeah, I think there's so many people that do this exact same thing where on paper, they need to get married, then the wedding's not for another couple years. Like, I feel like I've heard this multiple times of this sort of scenario. So I agree. Keep the fiance because you get to be a fiance for what, maybe 1 or 2 years of your life, but then you're a husband or a wife, hopefully for many, many years after that. So it's like, keep the special title while you can.
True. Exactly. Like I can't miss the opportunities to say fiance, or like, I guess it's just funny because Clay is going to be wearing his ring, but I like couples that do that anyway. Cause like, why does the woman have to wear the ring or get to wear the ring?
I know. I have seen that kind of controversy or that opinion online. It is true. It's like, why does only one of us have to be publicly acknowledged?
Claimed.
Yeah. No,
not that
so
Clay and
true.
I care about that, but like it is interesting. So we're for equality on this one. We're both yeah. wearing the rings. We'll both be fiancés.
We're both taken. No, I love that. I'm going to say I have two peaks. One peak, I put this on TikTok, but we were super delayed on Tuesday leaving St. Louis to get to Palm Beach. We've had a layover in Charlotte. And by the time we got to Charlotte, I think I literally had 11 minutes before my gate closed in two terminals away. We were in C and had to get to A. And it was like me and a couple other people. We found the other Palm Beachers on the flight. And then there was people going to Greensboro, North Carolina. Their gate closed in also in 11 minutes. Some people going to Charleston. Their gate closed in 7 minutes, but they were in the same terminal. So there was like a bunch of us. I was like, is this whole plane on connecting flights? Are we all going to miss our flights? But then the flight attendant was like, hey guys, if you're not on a connecting flight, can you please stay seated? We have a bunch of people that are going to miss their next flights. I was in the second to last row. I'm not kidding. Half the plane stayed seated. It was literally, I had goosebumps. And I said, I put on TikTok. So I'm like, shout out to all those people because I think all of us made our flights. Like being in the second to last row where like rows 18 to 25 didn't get up, that actually saved us so much. And they all literally just stayed seated so patiently, not even trying to move. Even like the front middle rows when I was like the last row getting my stuff, like they just stayed sitting down and I made my flight with I think 4 minutes to spare till the gate closed. I did not think that was going to happen. I was ready to change it. I was ready to put myself on the next one because I'm like, it's fine. We didn't have to be there for anything. But no, it was nice getting there early. And then we got to kind of hang out by the pool and just like lounge a little bit more. But shout out to all those angels. So that was my peak because I feel like that needed to be acknowledged.
the faith in humanity being one of those restored situations?
Yes, because I feel like any time I've been on a flight where people say that, no one's staying seated. Like, people just get up and just ignore it. But everyone listens. So that's that St. Louis, Midwest nice. And then my other peak was I adore the coworker that I had this trip with. It was just two of us. Her name's Patty. And Patty's the one who took amazing photos of me last time I had a work trip with her in Florida. And we bonded over loving Fourth Wing and reading and all this stuff. That was our last trip together. And when you're with just one other person on a trip, it's nice to get along and be friends because it's just you and one other person for 2.5 days straight. And we had a great time. And I love Patty. And that's my other peak, was just spending great time with a great gal.
Well, I love that from beginning to end, your last minute spontaneous work trip all went well and it was a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's read your guys' peaks.
In the spirit of traveling, Megan said, found super cheap flights to Dublin and booked a trip. I can't wait to sit by the sea. Love that. Hope you have the best time.
Another travel one. Jill said, booked my one-way flight to Australia. Okay, I guess that's in the spirit of moving as well. Congratulations. Hope you have a great time. I'm assuming you're living there. So that's amazing.
Candy said, applied to my dream company today. Please pray I get the job. Sending all the best wishes your way. You got this. And please update us when you do get it.
And China said, I tried 2 new workout classes this week. Amazing. We love that. I feel like when the weather's getting warmer, I'm all into the fitness mode. It's kicking in. Hope you enjoyed them.
As always, send in your peaks of the week on our Instagram story box every Monday at Artie Friends Podcast. As a retail shop owner, I know how important it is to have a good, reliable POS system. That's why I'm so excited about our sponsor today, Shopify. Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source. Track everything across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers both in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. That is all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/alreadyfriends to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thank you again to Shopify for sponsoring the Already Friends podcast.
Has it ever felt like you're doing everything right, eating healthy, working out, but your energy still crashes or your mood swings hit out of nowhere? I know I have, and what I've learned is that a lot of these issues are tied to hormonal imbalances. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in, today's sponsor. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy, just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking this quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz myself, and it gave me some personalized insights into what might be happening with my hormones and how I can feel better. One of the recommendations I got was taking Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and more. And it's an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system. It doesn't just help with progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, but it also helps with stress hormones such as cortisol, which is a huge troublemaker that can contribute to weight gain, fatigue, and many other things. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It's become such an essential part of many women's daily routines with over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. In fact, a survey found that 86% of women lost weight and 77% saw an improved mood, while 100% said they felt like themselves again. If you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone harmony quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with our code AlreadyFriends at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AlreadyFriends for 15% off today.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns.
Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple thousand dollars in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/andysgirls or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andysgirls.
And getting into this topic, it's kind of a rolling part two of last week where we were talking about attracting things instead of chasing them. We were like, well, if you want to figure out who you are so you know what to attract, those kind of go hand in hand so that you know what you want to call into your orbit and what you want to deflect and what opportunities or experiences could seem like an opportunity but are actually a distraction. And that has been a huge thing for me in the last year. I feel like I wasn't clear enough about what I wanted in life, and that's why all of this stuff was coming to me, because I was like, I'm open to whatever. And now with this Netherlands thing, I was literally telling my friend Liz, I was like, I'm trying to be so clear because I'm not trying to invite chaos in anymore. I want this apartment. I like listed out the specs of what I wanted, and you know, anything could happen. We still haven't signed it, but I'm trying to approach it with the energy of clarity. And I think that within terms of self-discovery, we all crave knowing more about ourselves. We crave knowing who we really are, which like, what does that even mean? But in all that, we have some of our favorites. Some maybe resonate with each of us individually or together, and some might be a good fit for you guys. Some you guys might not like, but we're going to share both a mix of qualitative and quantitative ones so that you can pick and choose from these however they resonate.
So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, make sure to go and do that. But why self-discovery matters, it's just, it can be very helpful for feeling lost or disconnected from yourself. And as creatures, we're constantly evolving. So these tools can kind of help you along that journey of tuning into your truth and your values. Self-discovery is not a one-time thing. It's a continuous, lifelong relationship with yourself. And we do want to preface that these are not boxes to put ourselves in, because I know with some of these, they have been critiqued for being used to put people in boxes, but you can use it as a tool to gain insight, language, and direction into yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that you said that last part about how these can put you into a box, because we're going to talk about astrology, for example. Sometimes I think we can use these as like self-affirming to almost verify less desirable or not negative, but less optimistic, less great qualities about ourselves. And it's like, oh, I'm just this way. And I was definitely guilty of that in my journey of discovering Enneagram, astrology, human design, all of them. And I know that that's something I need to be aware of when I'm going through these, is not give myself like a total free pass to just like be an asshole then just because my Mercury is in Scorpio and you can come across really direct. I'm like, okay, well, I know that about myself. So let's try to use some self-awareness to know how we can come across to people so that we can lighten it up a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. Well, let's go into the first one. You wrote down human design.
I first got into it a few years ago when a friend of mine reached out and asked if she could give me a human design reading. And I was like, okay, I mean, sure. Like I had gotten my chart, but I didn't really understand it because human design is really complex. But I think that's what makes it so powerful, because it's a blend of astrology, I'm going to say this wrong, the I Ching, the Kabbalah, and the chakra system. So with it being so comprehensive, it goes into how you make decisions, your energy levels, like your life path, numerology, like there's so much that goes into it. This is also one where I feel like because it is so complex, it could be overwhelming to someone who maybe is like, I don't even want to get into it. So I do think this is one where you need a person to like read your chart to you. Otherwise, it's like kind of looks like this crazy shape thing. You're like, what does any of this mean?
Yes. And probably what, a year ago, we had on Rebecca Weintraub, and we did a whole episode about human design, and she very kindly did readings for both of us. And I agree. When she was doing that reading, I'm like, I have no idea how I would have gotten all this value out of this on my own, which you can get a free human design reading I believe the website is just myhumandesign.com.
You can get your chart for free.
Sorry, yes. You can get your chart for free, but you can do readings with other people. And I do very much so think that the reading is well worth it because, like you said, it's incorporating all these different things. And it's just having someone who's an expert can really help you break down what you're seeing and brainstorm career, life, friendships, relationships with your strengths or weaknesses in mind.
One takeaway from human design for me, the environment where I thrive most is kitchens. And ever since I was a kid, I've always even done my homework and my work at the kitchen table. I love being in a kitchen. This is also why I couldn't get my morning routine going when I was like in my black coffee era for the last 10 years. It's like I wanted to be at home journaling and drinking my coffee in the kitchen. I'm like attached to the kitchen and love decorating it and making it like the heart of the home. And that was just really validating, I guess, when I did my human design, as I'm like, okay, this is why I am so attached to the kitchen and want, even my yoga mat is like in my kitchen. It's like kind of a living room kitchen, but like I could spend all day in my kitchen and I don't feel that way about other rooms of the house. So for whatever that was worth, it was just interesting insight.
And for human design, even the type, it's either generator, manifestor, projector, reflector, or manifesting generator. That's even helpful to know. And you get that in your chart. So even if you don't want to do a full reading, I recommend looking into that just to know that, because it kind of just shows you how your energy works, how to interact with the world with the least resistance, and just describes to you where and how you get your energy in life. So for example, mine's a generator. So the definition of a generator is your superpower is sustainable energy for what lights you up. If you follow excitement and respond to excitement, do not initiate it, you'll stay in alignment and avoid burnout. So that's helpful to know.
Yeah, and this is piggybacking off of last week when I wrapped up the episode. I was saying, if you are a manifestor in human design, you are someone who's an initiator, versus if you're a generator, you wait until something comes to you and then you respond. Kara and I are both generators. And I feel like even that's a testament of why the podcast is still going strong every single week after 4 years, because we're like, we committed, we're doing it, our energy is sustaining it, and it's kept going.
I love that it also gives you gifts, and those are kind of nice, just little different numbered gifts that speak to your talents as well. I think that's pretty interesting. I mean, all.
Yeah, I think that's enough on human design for me. If you want to go into the next one.
The next one is astrology, or your birth chart, another chart one. I feel like astrology has always resonated with me. I've definitely always felt that my sun sign is very synonymous with who I am. But again, I think people can use astrology to put people in boxes or to say, oh, I can't be friends with this person, or you can't hire this person because they're this sign or this sign. Again, I don't think this should be a tool to make up your mind about how someone is and make judgments on them. But for ourselves, I think it can be very powerful to illuminate different strengths, weaknesses, or even just communication styles, how you communicate with other people. Because within your astrology chart, which for me, the best way to get to know my astrology is through the app CoStar. I know there's a bunch of apps. That one's definitely the most common, I feel. But for me, it's very easy to read, very well laid out. But within your chart, you have all different planets that rule different parts of your life. And for me, that helps me understand, okay, this is your love life. This is what your chart is, and this is how it impacts your love life. Or this is your communication style, who you are when you're alone, all those different things. And I think it's very insightful.
Yeah, I love astrology. Shout out to Diddy when we had her back on a few years ago, because at that point in time, I was calling it Zodiac. So we've come a very long way in like 3-4 years or whatever it's been. I got the book called Star Power. It's really cute. It's like a pretty coffee table book, but it explains astrology in this way that's like building upon different aspects as you go through the chapters. So if you want to get more into it, I highly recommend that book. And then it will be pretty on your shelf or table once you've read it. But that book really helped cement in the different aspects, because I feel like before I got into astrology, I had friends that would be like, oh my God, you're this type, this, this, and this. And I'm like, how do you remember all of them? And now I'm like, I can go in order. I can tell you the fire versus the water signs versus the air signs, the main characteristic traits of each of them. There's the houses that they belong to, which correlates to even more specifics within each sign and its ruling planet. And then you have like your midheaven and your imam coli, there's so many layers, just like human design. You can get a quick gist, or you can spend years dedicating your life to trying to understand it. But I think of it as a hobby nonetheless, because it's just fun to me. I really don't base much off of it. I just think it's a lighthearted, but also I think there's some merit to it way to understanding myself. And I think when the shoe fits, I think it's funny and I like it even more. And when it doesn't, I'm like, oh, fuck. All right.
It's so funny because I feel like both you and me are always like, don't base your whole life off of it. It's not, but we also really like it. I do love when you meet someone and it totally makes sense what their astrology is. I'm the same way. Like, I'm not saying put all your eggs in the basket of astrology, but it is fun when the dots connect and someone who's really organized and is very type A is a Virgo. Like, that's just so funny to me.
And it helps in friendships and business and relationships because me and Clay are both Virgo risings. And that is really helpful in the household, because when I put something in the kitchen in one specific spot, angled a certain way, with no communication, Clay is the exact same way. Like, we like things exactly how we like them. And I feel like in a lot of other relationships I know, the men are not as wired that way. And I'm really grateful that when I do something, I know that Clay will do it the exact same way.
Or even just knowing why that happens. If you're like listening to a friend talk about, oh, my husband leaves his shoes everywhere, his clothes everywhere. And you're like, what are you talking about? I can't relate. Check out the charts. And you're like, oh, this is why.
And our moon signs, like mine and Clay's, are opposites. Mine is a Capricorn moon. His is a Cancer moon. And this is what rules your emotions. So Clay's much more emotional than I am. And like, when things happen, I feel like I meet them with logic most of the time. I'm less loving and nurturing. I'm like, well, this is why it is the way it is. Like, my brain just like explains it in much more of like a factual, logical way. And then Clay has much more, I would say, compassion for people and situations because he's more empathetic. And I have to soften in some situations. And then in others, he has to like not take things personally. And knowing that has been very helpful for both of us to be more gentle with the other when they're not understanding it the same way that we would.
Wait, also, as we're saying all this, I forgot about this app that is perfect for this episode because it combines a bunch of different self-discovery tools. Dimensional. Guys, if you've not gotten Dimensional, Allison, you need to get it. You are going to become obsessed. The first time you download it, it's like 2 hours of test taking, but it combines some of the tools we're going to talk about next, a bunch of different things, but it's mostly a lot of astrology. And it gives you just all these different facts about yourself, of like your empathy scale. And like, because you're talking about empathy, that reminded me of it, or how your astrology plays into it. I honestly forgot about it because I downloaded it on my work phone, and I'm not on my work phone as much for, I don't know, being on fun apps and stuff. So I forgot about it, but that is a really good one for astrology and just for everything we're talking about in this episode in general. Dimensional.
Okay, amazing. I've got a flight tomorrow and
yes,
could you use a deep dive.
Did you want to talk about the pattern app? I feel like that was another good one for astrology, but have you still liked that? Is CoStar your favorite?
I would say CoStar is my favorite for myself. The pattern is my favorite for me with other people, because what the pattern does that's different than CoStar, which now CoStar has this feature, but I think it's only on the paid. Pattern gives you 3 free ones per day. So you can do a pattern with a friend or a coworker or a potential lover, your current lover, whatever, and see how compatible you are.
Okay, well, very similar to this, less astrology and woo-woo, I guess. Enneagram. You're a big Enneagram proponent, yes?
I was really into Enneagram in college because I had a roommate whose boyfriend's mom like taught Enneagram at a university. So he and her were really into it. Then they got me into it. But I feel like I'm dusty. I need like a full brush up, because they also say, I think your Enneagram can evolve. And if you guys are unfamiliar, this is the one with the wings. It's like 4-wing 2 or 4-wing 3. And there's 9 types. I know number 9 is the peacemaker. There's like the investigator, the achiever. Number 4 is the individualist. And I also wonder how much your surroundings impact this, because I always thought I was the individualist because I thought I was more unique when I lived in Nebraska. And now I'm like, bitch, you are not shit. You are normal, just like everyone else. Like, you're literally so basic. So now I'm like, maybe not that. I need a retest.
Oh, okay. That's really interesting. Yeah. If you move from somewhere to a place where there's a lot of people that have those same interests as you that were more unique or less common where you used to live. That is very interesting. I'm on the page of, I never really got into Enneagram. I had friends that Enneagram resonated so hard with them. They ride or die for their Enneagram type. I don't know. I think some of these other ones that we've talked about or we'll talk about have just always resonated with me more. And I don't feel like Enneagram was giving me anything that I wasn't getting with these other ones, but I will have to look into it again and see, maybe retake the test and just see if it resonates now.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
I will say one aspect that I think is a little different about Enneagram is it really addresses your childhood, like trauma or wounds or how you felt you needed to be seen as a child or what you did to like please your parents. So like if you tested for the achiever as a child, you would have felt like, oh, to be like loved by my parents, like I need to get straight A's on everything. I needed to perform the best at sports. I needed to be involved. I needed to get into the best college. Like that's how your parents really like validated you and their love to you. Versus like number nine, as a peacemaker, maybe if your parents argued or they had a short temper with you or your siblings were arguing and you needed to be the person that like kept the peace among everyone, that's usually where Enneagram comes from. In my experience, I think it's the most related to that. And if you can deep dive into those unconscious patterns or like safety nets that we fall into, then it's like, oh, okay, well, now I know why my childhood wiring is the way it is even.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. I will definitely look back into that one and see if it resonates more. But that in the one that I've taken, I feel like that explanation does give some insight.
All right. Number four, somatic awareness. This is self-discovery through like the movement of your body, whether it's sensations or nervous system responses, breath work, dance, body scans. These can all help you process emotions that are stored deep inside your body.
How did you get into this tool? Any advice?
Actually, it was boxing for me.
Okay.
I should do a brush up on these definitions. I think cathartic movement and somatic healing, they go hand in hand, but I think cathartic movement is like boxing because I had so much anger in my body. When I started boxing, I was really able to let that anger out. And somatic healing, I think, is the healing through cathartic movement. Somehow they're tied like that. And yoga was also kind of on the other end of that. Being able to really pause and allow my body to be still in yoga was like so new for me. And seeing my body in the mirror, like on a mat, you cannot hide from anything. Like you're so exposed. And it allows you to have so much more body awareness of like, oh, I can do this. I can't do that. And then boxing on the other end was just like the opposite. Like I didn't have to be graceful. I didn't have to have these like perfect postures. Like I could just wail. And they both were very healing in very opposite ways. But I think it comes down to they both were cathartic.
Okay, well, going back to the quiz ones, I have a couple more that we can go over real quick. I have always loved the Myers-Briggs format. It's kind of less relevant now. I feel like during college, I very much resonated with this. And even early on in my career, knowing my Myers-Briggs, which is that one that's like ENTP, ENTJ, INTP, that those four letter ones, I feel like that really, really built self-awareness with me and understanding how I think, make decisions, how I recharge, how I communicate. I think this website is set up so well, too. Every single page is beautifully crafted with deep, deep free insight into each personality type, what career paths you could take, how to navigate work, your strengths, weaknesses, how to be a good parent, other celebrities that are those types. I just, even if you don't love the Myers-Briggs formula, and again, I think the critique is that it puts people in boxes, I think this website is so helpful and gives you so much free insight into your personality that for me, that was one of the biggest tools for making myself more aware of my strengths and weaknesses.
I also think Myers-Briggs is specifically helpful for career because if you are a certain type and you think that your dream job is one thing, it will, I mean, it doesn't go through every career type, but it will say ones that it's like, oh, you could thrive if you were in this area. And I think that that's helpful because if it was something that you always enjoyed, it could be validating. And if it's like, hey, maybe avoid these careers, it could be just like a moment to pause and be like, wait, is it because like my parents told me I should do that job or my older sibling did it or I saw it on a show when I was a kid? Or do I actually feel like I would really be happy in that career?
If you're very hands-on, maybe a job as a trade would work really well for you, like an electrician, plumber, etc. For me, my Myers-Briggs is the ENTJ, which some of the careers are entrepreneur, doing, you know, the podcast, content creation, all that on my own. Or it says project manager. Hello, I'm a producer. Like, hello. That could not be more perfect. Like, I think that it definitely can enlighten you to good career paths. And or maybe you find out you're more of an engineering brain and you couldn't figure out why you thought you wanted to do marketing or you thought you wanted to work in the news and it just never really worked well for you. Or maybe you thought you wanted to be a doctor, but then you take this and it actually shows that you're way more artistic and you're feeling pressured into doing a certain field. I've always thought that the Myers-Briggs was very, very helpful.
Do you want to go into StrengthsQuest? Because that's another one that can be really good for careers.
Yes. And following that, StrengthsQuest, I've not done this one in a really long time, but I did this very early on in college. And I also thought this was a very, very helpful tool. I think this was one of the first self-awareness tools I ever did. But basically, you take a test and it gives you your five top strengths. Also very detailed. I remember even when me and Connor were first dating, I loved this so much that I made him do it. And this one, I don't think it's free. I feel like they charge, I don't know how much,
They do charge because I've never done it. And yeah. I remember when we were doing resumes, like toward the end of college, I was like, oh, I don't want to pay for that. I'm an art student. I feel like they don't care.
Yes, it is $25. I thought it was worth it, but if you don't want to pay that, that's so understandable. I mean, there's so many free tools out there that you could skip this one, but I just felt like knowing my top strengths and my natural talents did validate back in college what I was studying and what I wanted to do, and it made me feel like I was on the right track, and to pay that was worth it for me, and I think Connor enjoyed it too.
I always wish, like, when you're an adult, you could go back and, like, retake the ACT and, like, redo all of the tests that you took when you were, like, 18, 20. And I wish I had done StrengthsQuest when I was graduating college and then to do it now and see how it would line up. Because similarly, like, to Enneagram, if it can change, it's interesting to see, like, oh, I am a growing, evolving human. Fascinating.
Definitely. I think I would have some fluctuations for sure. And I was thinking about that. It would be cool. Maybe I will retake it and see what the difference is.
All right. I have a few more that are more qualitative. You yourself use your own insight and your own intuition to do these ones. And I'm going to loop journaling, meditation, and breath work together because even though they're different, I kind of got into all of them at the same time. And I think that they can really help a lot with those thoughts swirling around in your head, especially if you're someone who tends to overthink or you worry. It can be really helpful to journal about those and let them go. Or if your mind is really active, to meditate, find some stillness within yourself. If you are anxiety prone and you get really overwhelmed, breath work, could not recommend more. When I was really overwhelmed in my Nebraska life, when I first started business ownership, breath work was like my saving grace. One Wim Hof session would pull me out of dark places. So I highly recommend those. And there's many ways that you can go about it. There's so many free apps, free YouTube videos. And with journaling, there's no wrong or right way to journal. If you're someone who just wants to free write, you can do that. You can use prompts. Even thinking about what I'm going to journal sometimes is helpful. Like if I'm on a walk and maybe I brain dump a little bit into my notes on my phone or I just think it in my my head. But with all of this sudden move stuff, I was trying to be like, okay, what am I worried about? Because of course, even though I'm trying to be really optimistic, I know that deep down there's like concern. So this morning I like wrote out my top quote worries and then just answered them for myself. Like, okay, so we move there and I don't get the visa. Okay, well, what happens? We move somewhere else. Move somewhere else multiple times. Okay, that's what we will do. And with each thing, just like talking myself off the ledge of like needing to get an answer or needing, because you're like, you, if you're worried about something, a lot of stuff is out of our control. So it's like you have to help yourself with whatever answer your mind needs to stop worrying about it. Because if it's just like, oh, don't worry, or like, let it go, that doesn't really work for me. I have to like come up with like a solution. And even if that solution in my mind is like, okay, no big deal, we will move somewhere else, I'm like, okay, you're right. That is worst case scenario. And that's not a horrible scenario. And I feel like journaling, breath work, and meditation can all kind of get you there because you pause enough to analyze your thoughts and then let them go.
Yes. And for me with the journaling, to reflect on things, because getting to know yourself is reflecting on yourself and who you are and your day-to-day life. I feel like I have to get it on pen and paper to make any sort of assessments and reflection, at least for me, because in my head, I'm not really going to reflect my way in my own head into knowing myself better. I feel like I have to get it on pen and paper, or at least talk it through with somebody, which we'll talk about next. But I love that our friend Tiana, your friend Tiana, has a whole company about this. It's her notebook within. And that always, I feel like that was a pivotal moment where her coming on, checking the show about how we always have the answers within, that has always resonated with me and stuck with me. Because I'm like, wow, I never really put it that way and realized that it's true. To get to know yourself better, we have the answers within, but you just have to draw them out.
One of my favorite things she said in that episode that I think about so often, and I even referenced it the other day, is she was like, you don't need to outsource all of your insight. And I was telling a friend, that's why I don't have any of those watches like that do your steps or something. Because I was like, I feel like I know if I only walked 400 steps. I don't need a watch to tell me that. I know damn well if I did not get off my laptop today. Like, I know I need to go for a walk. And sometimes I feel like those gadgets that measure everything about us can be really helpful, especially as like an initial way to measure, same with like my Fitness Pal. But after that, for me, like I have maybe weighed myself on a scale once in 10 years. Because I'm like, I can look at my body and tell you if I'm getting bigger or smaller. Like, I don't need the scale to tell me that. And there's so many like water fluctuations, your body changes as you get older. And I'm like, why would I, like, I don't know, psych myself up over something that I don't need to be doing that? So I just try to really ask myself, like, okay, if I'm feeling anxious, oh, I haven't walked yet, gone for a walk yet today. Let's go for a walk. Oh, it's been a little while since we got on our yoga mat. Like, you know, if you just ask yourself, you don't always need an app or a watch or whatever to tell you these things.
Yes. And if you're not into journaling or writing it down, another great way is to talk through figuring out yourself, and therapy or coaching can be a very helpful tool for a lot of people. I know that there's a lot of people who go to therapy and get more self-aware, and that's a really great tool. Or even through a life coach, or I mean, there's so many different types of coaches for all walks of life and what you're going through. And I feel like that is just such a great way to get objective insights onto who you are, maybe some blind spots that your friends or family might not fill you in on, because it's not their job to tell you your blind spots or that, or what weaknesses you have. But a therapy or coaching can be a really great thing for this.
Oh my God, imagine someone brands themselves as a blind spot coach. Honestly, genius.
I would do it. Like, I don't want to pay you to fluff me up and tell me what I want to hear. Let's get to the core.
I need the answers.
Yeah, I agree. So if someone out there exists, let us know, because we're interested. But yeah, I think that's a really great way to get to know yourself, and you're using time weekly or biweekly to work on yourself and process past experiences. Because something else I want to say is that a big way to figure out who you are is to look at things that quote unquote trigger you or bother you and what happened. And therapy is obviously one of the biggest tools for doing that.
I agree. That's a great one. My last one I'm going to say is solo travel. This is another one where you're just really going to have to use your own insight and intuition. But for me, this was pivotal when I went on my first abroad trip when I was 18. Like, the world got so much bigger for me after that. It helped reshape how I wanted to go through college, what I wanted to do with my life after that, the things I was interested in. It it did so much for me. And it also helped me build a deeper relationship with myself. It boosted my confidence and self-esteem because I was like, oh, I can handle myself. Like, I can figure these things out. I know how to get around. I know how to book stuff. I know how to figure out things in a different language. And I think that can help you develop a closer relationship with yourself to be like, oh, I can rely on me. And I think that's why so often we do outsource the insight, is because if you don't have that deep connection with yourself, you ultimately don't trust yourself. And I think solo travel is a great way to trust yourself more and deepen that relationship, so that then when things pop up and we're always going to be in new environments. So by putting yourself deliberately into a new environment, seeing how you react will help you in so many situations in the future and continue to build that trust again and again.
Exactly. And if you're someone in your day-to-day life where you're really only interacting with other people, doing a solo travel experience will really show you, okay, what do I want to do when it's just me and I'm not people-pleasing for 10 other people I'm traveling with? Or how do I meet new people? What kind of first impression do I make? Or how do I even get my energy? Do I like being alone? Do I solo travel and enjoy quiet walks on the beach or being secluded or just being alone? Or is it something where you realize, I like making friends when I'm out by myself. I like introducing myself to people and networking and finding cool things. I feel like there's so many different subsets of what you'll learn about yourself along the way.
Amazing. Well, this is going to make me want to revisit some of these things.
I agree. Already going to take my Enneagram test again after this. I'm going to see if it resonates anymore. But yeah, I think this is great. Highly recommend Dimensional to everybody. CoStar. Anything else? I mean, like we said, it's a constant evolving journey. We're always going to change with these tools. Definitely don't feel like you need these different descriptors or words to define you and stick with that your whole life. We're allowed to change. We're allowed to maybe learn about something about us that we want to change. You don't feel like you have to be tied down to any of these things that these tests tell you that you are if you don't want to be that way.
And my wrapping up thought is, so much of figuring out who I am has been figuring out who I am not. And as you go through life and change jobs or have friendship breakups or relationship breakups or other hard lessons, there's always something to be gained from that. And there's always a way that you can use that as a tool to figure out more about who you are. How did you react and respond to that situation? What was your part in the story? What could you have done better? Or did you put your best foot forward? There's multiple layers to each of those situations that I think can help you in situations going forward, so that you can grow and you have the opportunity to show up better or just in a way that you feel proud and aligned about. And so don't beat yourself up if you don't know who you are, because I don't think anyone truly knows who they are. But I think a lot of our life journey is figuring out what we don't want, because that helps get us closer and closer to what we do want.
Absolutely. I think you said everything perfectly. Thank you guys for being here for another episode of Already Friends. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.